in this kingdom, the treasures of the kingdom are accessible by the key of knowledge.
Vision is a necessity for human survival. You are a deliberate creature of a God in heaven, and you were sent from the realm of eternity into the earth realm in order to fulfill a divine purpose. You are here on a mission.
Jesus died, resurrected to restore us back to the glory realm. Christianity is a call unto the glory life. Christianity is a call unto a life of glory and dominion. You have to be transformed into that version of you that is needed to fulfill your destiny. Through the process of spiritual metamorphosis, mental metamorphosis, the assignment is at the mercy of your personal growth and transformation.
Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Father, our hearts and minds are open. We receive your word. We receive revelation, illumination, divine illumination, divine insight into mysteries and secrets. Let the eyes of our understanding be enlightened. We receive impartations of your spirit. Thank you, Father. We go from strength to strength. We have been empowered. We have been equipped. We have been energized by your word and your spirit to live and walk in the supernatural, in Jesus' name. Come on, clap your hands, oh you people. I say clap your hands, oh you people. Come on, shout to the Lord with the voice of triumph. Come on, shout glory. Hallelujah. Well, I welcome you in God's presence. Welcome to day what? Day 10. Welcome to day 10 of our 14 days of glory and fire, prayer and fasting program. Hallelujah. Mark chapter 16, verse 17. It says, "And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name. And that name represents Jesus' authority. And the good news is that if you are born again, if you are a child of God, He has given you that same authority in His name. Jesus has given us the power of attorney to use His name. He says, in my name. He said we should function in His name. We have been ordained to function in His name. We've been authorized to function in His name. To use His authority. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name or in my authority, they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and the sick shall recover. Hallelujah. Verse 20, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord walking with them, confirming the word with what? With signs following. Supernatural signs and wonders. Supernatural miracles, signs and wonders, they are the characteristics of a believer. They are the exclusive reserve of a select few individuals who are called to the offices of apostle, prophet, teachers, evangelists, and pastors. They are not they are not meant only for those select few people called to the fivefold ministry. It's something that God has ordained for every child of God to walk in. It's our heritage in Christ. The supernatural is our heritage in Christ. It is a part and parcel of our inheritance. Am I communicating? And we started talking about the basis for the supernatural. What are the basis for operating in the supernatural, for walking in the supernatural? This is Secrets of Supernatural Living Part 3. Today we looked at Part 1 on Monday, Part 2 Tuesday, today is Wednesday. Secrets of Supernatural Living Part 3. And we said the number one basis for living the supernatural life, the number one basis for supernatural living is the life and nature of God that we received when we got born again. The life and nature of God. Zoe, the life of God, you bring down the volume more. The life of God that we received at new birth is a supernatural life, the God life. There is nothing natural about it. It is a life with the highest quality, greater than the human life, greater than animal life, greater than plant life. Am I communicating? The life of God that we received at new birth is a supernatural life. And therefore, we have that life in us. We have the supernatural DNA. We have the nature of God. 2 Peter 1:4, he says he has made us partakers by reason of the exceeding great and precious promises. He said that ye might be partakers of the divine nature. The divine nature of God in us, that divine nature we were born with, is a supernatural nature. Am I communicating? The new creature in Christ is a supernaturalist. The new creature in Christ is not a natural human being, is a supernatural being, because he has the life of God, he has the nature of God. So we can manifest the supernatural as a lifestyle. Do you know what it means to be born again? You know, a lot of us have been religiously brainwashed. We think that being born again is just accepting another religion. No, it's more than that. Being born again, you need to understand, to be born again means to be born from above. And he that is from above is above all. Am I communicating? The Greek word born again, literally it means, the Greek word is geno anoten. It literally means to be born from above. And when you got born again, watch this, you were born of the Father God. He said, of his own will begat he us. John 1 verse 12. As many as received him, to them he gave the power or the authority to become what? Sons of God. John 1 12. But as many as received him, to them he gave that power, there is authority to become sons of God, even to them that believe in his name. Look at verse 13. Which were born not of blood. When your parents gave birth to you, you were born of blood. But he said when you got born again, you were not born of blood, nor of the will of the flesh. Your natural birth was of the will of the flesh. He says not of the will of man. Your natural birth was of the will of man. But when you are born again, you are not born of blood. So blood diseases cannot affect you. Do you understand? You are not born of the will of the flesh. You are not born of the will of man. It's not by human decision. It's not by parental planning or parental consent. Am I communicating? He said, but you are born of God. He's talking of God the Father there. God the Father gave birth to you. So you are the supernatural offspring of your supernatural Father. Then in John chapter 3 verse 5, Jesus' discussion with Cornelius, Nicodemus, I say Cornelius, I beg your pardon, Nicodemus, a Pharisee who came to Jesus by night. Look at their discussion. Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit. So when you are born again, you are born of the Holy Ghost. That means you become a child of the Holy Ghost in the same way Jesus was called a child of the Holy Ghost when he was begotten on planet Earth. Am I communicating? So I showed you in John 1:12 that when you got born again, you were born of what? God the Father. Now, in John 3:5, I'm showing you that when you got born again, to be born again means to be born of the Holy Spirit, because you are born of the water and of the Spirit. And if you want to know the meaning of water in this verse, study it in context. It's actually talking about the Holy Spirit, because water is a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. That's why I say, except a man be born of the water and the Spirit. Water can represent the Word of God in the Bible. Water can represent the Holy Spirit. Water can represent trouble, challenges, tribulations, trials. It all depends on the context in which it was used. So if you study the context, you will know the meaning of the water. Now in this context, the meaning of water is actually the Holy Spirit. So when you got born again, number one, you were born of God the Father. When you got born again, number two, you were born of the Holy Spirit. Then let's look at the third one, 1 Peter 1:23. He said, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Number three, being born again means you are born of the incorruptible seed of God's word. Incorruptible is not subject to decay, is not subject to disease, is not subject to failure, is not subject to death. It is death proof, it is failure proof, it is what? Disease proof. That's the incorruptible word of God. Am I communicating? Not subject to corruption. This is what it means to be born again. You see, as simple as this word, being born again, is, so many Christians don't know the meaning of being born again. They don't know. They just thought that the day they got born again, they joined another religion called Christianity. Some thought they joined another club or association called Christians. But they don't know that when they got born again, they received, when you confessed the Lordship of Jesus and you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, so many transactions took place in the realm of the Spirit. You received the life and nature of God. The life and nature of God was imparted to your human spirit, and that life and nature of God recreated your human spirit, and the life of God completely supplanted and replaced your natural human life that you received from your parent. And listen, when that life and nature of God recreated your human spirit, am I communicating? You were born of God the Father. You were born of the Holy Ghost, and you were born of the Word of God, the incorruptible seed of God's Word. That's why I say being born again, not of corruptible seed. Do you know the corruptible sperm? That word seed means sperma. Sperma. The Greek word is sperma, from where they get the word spermatozoa. Eh? Spermatozoa. The life-carrying faculty. It says, being born again, not of corruptible sperma, but of incorruptible sperma. What is this incorruptible seed? The word of God. So, can you now see how Mary got pregnant? Eh? How does a human being, how is a human being formed? How does conception take place? Fertilization of what? The egg produced by the woman, the sperm produced by the man, spermatozoa. spermatozoon, one spermatozoa, plural. So one sperm cell fertilizes the egg and the zygote is formed. A baby is on the way. Am I communicating? How did Mary get pregnant with Jesus? God donated his own sperm. What is his sperm? His word. The incorruptible seed, the incorruptible sperm, fertilized the egg of Mary. Are you getting me? Supernaturally powered by the Holy Ghost. And that was how baby Jesus was implanted in the womb of Mary as a zygote, and he grew up. Are you getting this? Do you know that was exactly, is a similar thing that happened to you when you got born again? The seed, the incorruptible sperm of God's word gave birth to you. The eternal life that you received at new birth came from the word of God. Am I communicating? The word of God carries the life of God. The sperm of God carries the life of God. You see, that's why I said, as simple as this word is, born again, many Christians don't know the meaning. That's why I'm taking time to explain. Okay, it's so important, because if you don't understand what that word means, being born again, then you will not enjoy Christianity. You won't be able to function effectively as a Christian. You won't know the things that belongs to you. You won't know your potential. You won't know your capabilities. You won't know your identity. You won't even understand who you are in Christ. So those basics, they look basic, but I'm telling you, basics like this, they will affect the quality of your Christianity. If you understand them very well, you will live the supernatural life in Christ. Okay? You will be a successful Christian. You will be effective. But if you don't understand these basics, your Christianity will be a struggle. It will be like another religion. Am I communicating? Say with me, when I got born again, I was born of God the Father. Number two, when I got born again, I was born of the Holy Spirit. Number three, when I got born again, I was born of the incorruptible seed of God's word. And the John James chapter 1 verse 18, he said, of his own will begat he us. So our new birth was the will of God. Of his own will begat he us by the word of truth. God gave birth to us through his word. Of his own will begat he us by what? Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. He's talking of the word of God. The word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits. Give me an amplified. First fruits of his creation. That first fruit means top class, first class. So the new creation is a first class being. The new creation is a top class being, because it's born of the word of truth, gave birth to us. And Jesus is the word made flesh, right? The living logos. It was of his own free will that he, God, gave us birth as sons by his word of truth, so that we should be a kind of first fruit of his creatures, a sample of what he created to be consecrated to himself. Hallelujah. Say, I am first class. I am top class because I'm born again. See, the new creation is not a failure. Does this look like a failure? It's a first fruit. That word first fruit means top class. I studied it. It means top class. It means first class. You know, though, you are a first class citizen. I say you are a first class citizen.
You are a top class citizen. You are not second class. Glory to God. Look at it. To be born again means to be born of God the Father. To be born again means to be born of the Holy Spirit. To be born again means to be born of the Word of God. And Jesus is the Word. That means to be born again means you were born of Trinity. Yes. I just proved it to you from the Bible. Trinity gave birth to you. God the Father did. God the Son did. That's Jesus the Word gave birth to you. The Holy Spirit did. So, is there anything ordinary about the three of them? And the three of them are supernatural. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. In John 14, he said, and the Word was made flesh. He put on flesh and moved into the neighborhood. Hallelujah. Is there a difference between Jesus and the Word? Huh? Jesus and the Word. Is there any difference? Huh? Jesus is the Word made flesh in the earth realm, right? The incarnation. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. God and His Word are one and the same. You can't separate Him from His Word. John 1 verse, give me verse, is it 18? Jump to 18. John 18, let's look at 18. It says, no man had seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He had declared Him. Hallelujah. You know, before Jesus came to this earth, I'm about to say something that will shock some of you. There was no Jesus in heaven until He came to this earth. There was no Jesus in heaven. What we had was the Word. In the beginning was the Word. It didn't say in the beginning was Jesus. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. Then the Word was made flesh. That was how Jesus came into being. Then, you see, that name Jesus did not exist from the beginning. What we had was the Word. Jesus is that living Logos. He was in the bosom of the Father. Ah. He said, there is this scripture we like quoting, but we misinterpret it. I think it's in Psalm 24. When he said, lift up your heads, O ye gates. Be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, that the King of glory might come in. Now, I've even heard some preachers use that scripture. They use it for spiritual warfare. Lift up your head so you get. Who is talking to who in that verse? Be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors. Some people say it was when Jesus went to hell, after his combat in hell. This is the explanation some people have given. After he has conquered Satan, defeated him, he now told hell, lift up your head so you get the gate of hell. But is that really the correct meaning? No, that's not. It's not a correct explanation. It's not correct. I've heard people use that, but it's not correct. If you analyze itself, do you call the gate of hell everlasting? The doors everlasting? Is hell everlasting? Is hell everlasting? Talk to me. Hell is a temporary place. The Bible says hell and death shall be cast into the lake of fire. Is lake of fire that is everlasting? The eternal destination of sinners is not hellfire, it's lake of fire. So, now, lift up your heads, O ye gates.
Be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, that the King of glory may come in. It didn't say that the King of glory may go out. You see, another point that is against that you people's some people's explanation. Eh? Now, if I want to agree that it was hell, the gate of hell, the gates of hell and the doors, then he should have said that the King of glory should go out. Because Jesus has already conquered Satan now. So he is going out, but the scripture did not say go out. He said that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The doors and gates are talking now. He said the Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. In other words, he just came back from a battle. He just came back from a conquest. So the gates and everlasting doors is actually heaven. When Jesus returned from his conquest, you know, he ascended first to heaven. Am I communicating? When he first ascended with his own blood, that was when this conversation took place. Go back. Go back now. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, the King of glory shall come in. He wants to enter heaven. Am I communicating? Next verse. That, you know, the gate of heaven is everlasting, unlike the gate of hell. Okay? It says, who is this? Now they are asking. Who, do you know the angels did not know Jesus? Is it too high? I told you Jesus did not exist in heaven before. It was the Word that was with God. And then it was after that Word became flesh. That was how Jesus came into being. So when he now ascended, there were some of the angels that did not know him. So they had to ask, who is this King of glory? He just returned from hell. He had conquered hell. He had conquered Satan. He had paid the price. He said, who is this King of glory? Then Jesus introduced himself. He said, the Lord what? Strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. He is the King of glory. They say, ah, I beg, no vex. They open the gate, enter. Hallelujah. You know, this is a teaching ministry. Sometimes you can't do teaching ministry without correcting some things. Am I communicating? Well, correction is done in love. Hallelujah. So at least you people will not be misquoting that scripture again. Because the way some people pray, now let's bombard the gate of hell, the gate of heaven, we are bombarding it, the gate of hell, let's break it, we are closed now, we are closed. Brethren, will you increase the tempo of your prayer? We are about to break that gate. Lift up your heads, O ye gate, hell. Praise God. What's the second basis for the supernatural? The Word of God. The Word of God carries the supernatural life of God and the power of God. The Word of God carries, conveys, and communicates the supernatural life and power of God. In John 6:63, Jesus said, the word that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. The Word of God carries the life of God, which is supernatural. The Word of God carries the power of God. It conveys and communicates the power of God. The Word of God is a spiritual life-giving force. The Word of God is supernatural in nature and operation. And I've taught you that we are the supernatural offspring of God's Word. We saw that in 1 Peter 1:23, James 1:18. We live by God's Word and we are sustained by His Word. Because God's Word is the source of our life in the first place. The Word of God is the source of your life. And whatever is your source is what you will be sustained by. So you can't live without the Word. You can't survive without your source. You cannot survive without your source. And the Word of God is the source of our life. Am I communicating? Everything God created was sustained by the source.
Praise God. No wonder Matthew 4:4, Luke 4:4, Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that what? Proceed out of the mouth of God. We live by the word. We are sustained by the word, because the word of God is our source in the first place. It's the source of our life. Outside of the word of God, you can't survive. All of God's power resides in his word. All of God's power resides in his word. Hebrews 1:3 talks about God upholding all things by the word of his power. The word of his power. It means all of his power is in his word. Okay? The preaching, teaching, and speaking of God's word provokes the supernatural into operation. Okay? You see that in Mark 16:20, they went and preached everywhere, the Lord walking with them, confirming the word with signs and wonders following. Acts 14:3. Long time therefore abode they, speaking boldly in the Lord, who granted testimony unto the word of his grace and signs and wonders. He granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. Luke 5:17, Jesus was teaching and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. So the preaching of God's word, the teaching of God's word, speaking of God's word, doing God's word provokes the supernatural into manifestation. God does nothing without his word. He always works with his word. Revelation knowledge of God's way is what puts you in command of his supernatural acts. Psalm 103 verse 7, God made known his ways to Moses and his acts to the children of Israel. His acts talks about his supernatural miracles, his signs, his wonders. He made known his ways to Moses. So Moses is in command of the supernatural acts of God. The children of Israel just see the display of the supernatural acts of God, the miracles, the signs, the wonders. They saw the manna, they saw the Red Sea parted, they ate the manna, they ate the quail, they were protected, provided for. They saw the miracles of God in the wilderness, but they did not know how it was produced. You know why? Because they did not know the ways of God. But God made known, he revealed his ways to Moses. And when you have a revelation knowledge of his ways, it will put you in command of his supernatural acts. Am I communicating? In Exodus 33, that was where Moses said, Lord, if I found grace in your sight, show me your way. Verse 13, Exodus 33, 13. That was where God showed him his ways. Look up. The supernatural is not a mystery. The miraculous is not mysterious. It's not magical. It's not magic. Miracles are not magic. Miracles are not a mystery. The supernatural, there is nothing mysterious about it. If you have an understanding of the ways of God, and that's what part of the things we are learning in this teaching series. That's why we call it Secrets of what? Supernatural Living. When you have an understanding of the ways of God, they will show you the secrets on how to operate in the supernatural. Glory to God. When you know how to cook jollof rice, you will cook jollof rice. But if you don't know how to cook it, even if you have the ingredient, you will not be able to cook it. It's as simple as that. God made known his ways, his way of doing things to Moses. The children of Israel only saw the actions. Okay? So the person that knows, it's not like this statement. They say the person that knows what we always may get the job, but the person that knows how and why will always be his boss. Yeah. The third basis for the supernatural, our oneness with God. We've talked about our oneness with God. We said the Holy Spirit is not living in us separate from our human spirit. No. The Holy Spirit is in a vital union with our recreated human spirit. Praise God. Is united with our spirit as one. 1 Corinthians 6:17. He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. We are glued together. Okay? glued together, cemented together. It's an inseparable union. Inseparable union. We are inseparably one with God. Okay? The oneness of our recreated or reborn human spirit and the Holy Spirit empowers us for supernatural living. The Holy Spirit is a custodian of all of God's power. He is the grand commander of the supernatural. The Holy Spirit is the grand commander. And guess what? He's united with your spirit as one. And that empowers you to live the supernatural life in Christ. His indwelling presence in you makes you a sign and a wonder. The indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit makes you a supernatural being, a miracle worker, a producer of signs and wonders. Glory to God. So learn to acknowledge, recognize, and reference his person and presence in your life. Learn to acknowledge the presence of the Holy Spirit. Learn to recognize and reference his person and his presence in your life. We talked about this during that last week series, right? The person and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. So you learn to constantly commune, fellowship with him, be fully yielded, be surrendered to the Holy Spirit, be submitted to his will in total obedience, obey his instruction, obey his voice, obey his leadings. Hallelujah. Glory to God. John chapter 14 verse 10. Jesus said, "My Father, which dwelleth in me, he doeth the works." He performs the miracle. That's the he attributed the his miracle ministry to the influence of the person, the presence of the Holy Spirit in him. He says he's the one performing the miracles. Hallelujah. Then in John 10 verse 30, Jesus said, "I and my Father are one." I and my Father are what? One. Glory to God. It's union. Jesus was conscious of his union with the Father, and that empowered him for his supernatural ministry. The fourth basis of our supernatural life, fourth basis for supernatural living, is the name of Jesus Christ. The use of the name of Jesus. We saw it in Mark 16:17. "These signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. Take up serpent. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them." Jesus has given us the power of attorney to use his name to get to produce supernatural results. John 14:13. He says, "If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." Hallelujah. His name represents his authority. The name of Jesus contains all authority in heaven, on earth, and in the under the earth. That's underworld, the kingdom of darkness. In that name we have dominion. Dominion in the three worlds. We walk in dominion over all circumstances in that name. We walk in dominion over disease, death, demons. We walk in dominion over lack, poverty, and all of that, the works of darkness. We walk in dominion over nature, natural laws, and natural circumstances of this life. We walk in all-round dominion in his name. The name of Jesus is a miracle worker. He said, "Whatsoever ye shall ask in my name or in my authority, that will I do." Now look at it in the natural. The name of the governor of Plateau State, won't it open doors for you? If the governor gives you his name, he said, "Use this my name. Anything you, anywhere you go, just go in my name. Use my name." Won't that name open doors for you? If you go looking for a job, will they turn you down? When you go with his authority, the authority of the governor, his name. What of president of Nigeria? Think of what his name will do for you. He's backing you up. Will anybody say no to you? Let's say you are looking for visa. You go to U.S. Embassy and you are being backed up. You are going in the name of who? Jagaban, Nigerian president. You are backed up. You came with letters from the presidency, signed and sealed by him, signed and stamped by him. Would they turn you down? They know that if they say no, they will be in trouble. It's going to be between them and the president. Them and the president go enter the same trouser, the way we talk. Abi? So they say they don't want trouble. I beg, give this one visa. What of US president? Look at what the names of human beings, secular leaders on earth can do. Now, think of the name of Jesus. Think of what that name will do for you. The demon that can resist the authority of that name has not been born. Am I communicating? Just make sure you use the name with revelation and understanding and use it in faith. It always works. The name of Jesus empowers you for supernatural living and all-round dominion. Dominion over devils, diseases, poverty, lack, circumstances, nature, fear, failure, and death. We walk in dominion over them all in the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus is a major key to the supernatural. We command and operate in the supernatural by functioning in the name. He said, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Next verse. If ye shall ask, that word ask means to demand. Demand. Ask or demand anything in my name, I will do it. He gave us a blank check. Glory to God. So you can demand for miracles in his name. Just in Acts chapter 3 verse 5, the healing of the lame man at the gate called beautiful. Look at this. Okay, 4. Let's pick it from 4. Peter and John were about to enter into the temple through that gate. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon the lame man with John, he said, look on us. Look on us. Look on us. Now, this is very important. I always tell people that, look, miracles don't just happen. There are laws that govern the miraculous. Maybe by tomorrow, I'll start entering those laws. Look at it. He said, look on us. In other words, give us your attention. Attention. Very important. When I minister to people, the first thing I want is their attention. You see, people cannot receive when they don't give attention. When their mind is like this, like this, like this, like this, it will be difficult to receive. There's what we call the law of focus. For impartation to happen, there must be focus. That's why sometimes I tell people to look at me, look at my eyes. I'm trying to get their attention. You see, ministering to people, there are dynamics to it. For you to receive anything from God, you must give him your attention. Distraction is a terrible robber of people. It can rob people of their miracle. Distractions. Distraction. Sometimes, once one minute to people receiving their miracle, or 30 seconds, Satan will bring up a distraction. It may be in form of their phone. A message can come in. A call can come in. The goal is just to distract them so that they will not be able to connect to receive what God has for them. Sometimes the distraction can be maybe light will just go off. Or maybe one funny sound like that from keyboard or amplifier, and their mind is gone. Distraction. Satan knows that for people to receive from God, they need to give him their attention. Focus. Before Elisha received double portion, what was the condition Elijah gave him? Number one, if you see me when I'm taking up, it's a test of focus. Do you think if Elisha was distracted by everything else, do you think he would see him? He wouldn't have seen him, because Elijah went up by a wild wind. Horses and chariot of fire came and carried him. If Elisha was distracted, he would have missed out. He wouldn't have received impartation of double portion. Peter said, look on us. And then look at the next thing. So this is talking of focus. Verse 6. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. Notice he didn't say silver and gold have we none. He said, have I none at that point. Okay? He didn't say have we none. Because he was with John. He was not sure whether John had something. So he said, me, have I none? He was sure of himself. He was not sure of John. And you know, John, if you study John, John is a member of the high priest family. John is a member of the high priest family. And the high priest those days, they are loaded. Those guys were rich. Am I communicating? They were rich. They were not poor. That was why when Jesus was on the cross, he committed his mother to John. He didn't commit him to Peter. Because he knew that John was loaded. Are you getting me? He said, Father, son, behold your mother. Mother, behold your son. He said, John, I better take care of my mother for me. He knew that John was... He was able. He had the financial might. Am I communicating? Study John very well. Even when Jesus was arrested, all the other disciples, none of them could come close. It was only John that was allowed to enter, because he belonged to the high priest family. So he was watching those trials. Am I communicating? Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee in the name. He was conscious of what he had. Hey, you may not have money in your account, but you have the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus can produce miracle. It will work miracle, including financial miracle. It doesn't just work healing miracle. That name can produce financial miracle. I was preaching last year in the annual convention of a ministry in Zaria, and the title was The Name of Jesus. And I was preaching along this line. I taught them you can use the name as an instrument to demand for things. You can use that name as an instrument to get things done. You can use it as a channel in prayer. I was telling them that you can make decrees. You can call for things. You can order for, you know, the way you order for things in that name. That name has that authority. I was teaching them. There at the end, I said, okay, rise to your feet. Begin to demand for anything in his name. Demand for anything. Whether it is money or healing or anything. Just do it in his name. And the man, this great man of God, wonderful teacher of God, Reverend Joshua Tende, he was in the meeting. I was privileged to take the first session. Then he took the second session. So, he later shared testimony on Sunday with us in the evening, because he came to round up the program. He said, when Dr. Luca was saying we should demand anything that we desire in the name of Jesus, he said him, it was money he needed. So, that particular amount, he started demanding it. He said that same day in the night, he saw an alert. Money came in. And he traced it. He traced this financial miracle, this money that came, to the service. So this thing work. I don't know what you want. You can demand for miracles in that name. You can demand for deliverance in that name. You can demand for healing in that name. in his name, in his authority. The monies will come, the miracles will come, the healing will come. See, when I use the name of Jesus, I don't doubt what I'm saying, because I understand the authority behind that name. You see, when you demand that name, it's as though Jesus is demanding for that thing. So ask yourself, will they say no to Jesus? Will the demons or life or problem, will they deny Jesus what he demanded? So if they cannot deny Jesus, they cannot deny you, because you are functioning in his name. Hallelujah. He says, rise up and walk. And he walked. I say he walked. The miracle happened in his name. We can walk in the supernatural using the name of Jesus. Praise God. Jesus obtained his name by birth. The first way he obtained his name is by birth. Say, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee, by birth. The word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus was called the child of the Holy Ghost. It's a similar way great people obtain their great names. Abi? Well, if somebody is born, who is the world's richest man now? Bernard what? Is Elon Musk the richest man currently? Now just imagine if a child is born into a Elon Musk family. Is that child poor? So that's the number one way Jesus obtained his name, by birth. The second way he obtained his name is that great name, he obtained it by conquest. By conquest. When he defeated Satan and the cohorts of darkness. You know, Jesus went to hell. I told you there was a spiritual battle in hell. Okay, he put off from himself. He spoiled principalities and powers. Made a public spectacle of them. He arose a mighty general. He conquered hell, the grave, Satan and his demons. And by so doing, he obtained a great name. Hallelujah. He obtained a great name. By conquest. He said, wherefore God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every other name. The third way Jesus obtained his name is that great name was conferred on him. It was bestowed on him by God the Father. It was bestowed on him in honor of his sacrifice and his victory. The great name was bestowed or conferred on him by the Father. You know, Bill Gates didn't finish university. Eh? He went to Harvard, but he was a dropout. But are you aware that he has an honorary degree from Harvard? The school was smart. They gave him honorary degree. Because he was a great man, rich man, world richest man in a row for how many years? They are not foolish enough not to recognize their own. He said, "Abeg, come collect degree." They gave you honorary degree. That is how some of you, all this your school will be calling you later. Give you honorary degree. Dash you plus the one you read plus the one you no read, collect. In this life, don't be small. Am I communicating? Be great. Praise God. Reverend Chris Oyakilome, they've given him plenty honorary degree because of who he is and what he has done for his school. So, in the same way, in the natural, university authorities and all of that, school authorities, they confer honorary degree on people that they deem it fit to give. That was how God the Father too conferred that name on Jesus. Bestowed it. So these are the three ways Jesus obtained his name. Number one, by birth. Number two, by conquest. Number three, it was by conferment or bestowal. Hallelujah. Now, let's look at the difference between power and authority. Power and authority. Acts chapter 1 verse 8, Jesus said, "You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me." And the Greek word there for power, translated power in English, is dunamis. What is dunamis? Dunamis is that dynamic, the inherent dynamic ability, the inherent dynamic ability to cause changes, to effect changes. Am I communicating? Inherent dynamic ability to cause changes. Am I communicating? That's power. Divine ability, divine enablement. Dunamis also means miracle working power. Miracle working power, miracle working ability. Praise God. It also means force. It's like a supernatural force. Glory to God. Glory to God. Capacity. Capability. I'm giving you a synonym for dunamis. In Luke chapter 9 verse 1, Jesus called unto his disciples. He called the 12 unto himself. He called his 12 disciples together. And he gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. Hold it here. He gave them what? Two things. Did you notice? He gave them power. That's dunamis. And then he gave them what? Authority. The Greek word authority for authority is exousia. Exousia. Now, power and authority, they are not exactly the same thing. They don't mean exactly the same. Okay, I've explained power. Let's look at authority. What is authority? Write, if you are writing. Exousia in Greek, authority. Authority means delegated power. Number one, it means delegated power or influence. Number two, authority means the permission or privilege to use power. The permission or privilege to use power. Number three, authority means the right or freedom to use power. The right or freedom to use power. Are you learning something? The right or freedom to use what? Power. Number what now? Number what? Number four. Authority means the right to command and enforce obedience. The right to command and enforce obedience. Or the right to command and be obeyed. The right to command and be obeyed. The right to command and enforce obedience. Glory to God. Number what again? Number five. Authority means jurisdiction. It means jurisdiction. Let me ask you a question. Can Ghanaian police come and arrest a criminal in Nigeria? Eh? Okay, let's say Nigerians stole in Ghana and then they now found their way into the country. That's, they committed a crime in Ghana and then they ran into Nigeria. Can the Ghanaian police
enter Nigeria and come and arrest them in Nigeria and take them to Ghana. Why? I thought those people stole in Ghana. Why? Because they don't have the authority to do so in Nigeria. Their authority is limited only to Ghana. Now, if those criminals, those Nigerian criminals are in Ghana, they can arrest them because they have the authority within their country. They are being backed by what? The Ghanaian police force. The Ghanaian police authority is backing them up so they can arrest them in Ghana. But the moment they leave Ghana, the Ghanaian police no longer have authority to arrest them. At best, they can only communicate to Nigerian police. Only Nigerian police have the right to arrest them in Nigeria because they have the authority. Am I communicating? You need to understand authority. Can a surgeon, general surgeon in South Africa, trained in South Africa, licensed by the South African government to practice surgery and operate patients, can he enter Jute on their operation day? Let's say they have a which case now? Appendicectomy. And then they are in the theater. Nigerian surgeons are in theater. Then that South African surgeon just enter and start operating the patient. I thought he has the ability to operate. Can he do that? Why won't he do that? He doesn't have the authority. Though he has the ability, he has the power to operate the patient. But this is not South Africa. This is not the hospital he's working in. Jude did not employ him. They don't even know him here. He doesn't have the authority. Am I communicating? Have you watched traffic wardens? Those police that stand at traffic. There's even one that likes to dance. You know? where is that junction? Is it at British? There used to be one like that. People used to dash him money because he entertains them. You know, the guy will just be dancing. He does his job in a very exciting way. Those people come in, will say like this. So yeah, you come. You know, the guy will just be dancing. You know, now those police at all those traffic wardens and all of that, they are wearing uniform. Do you notice that when vehicles are coming and they do like this, stop, they show the stop sign, the vehicle stop. Even if it's a truck, it will grind to an halt. Why do they obey him? Because he has authority. If somebody else that is not on police uniform is not a police, let's say you go and do like this, will they obey you? They won't obey you because you don't have that authority to stop them. But when he does like this, they obey. Now, did you notice he did not physically, like King Kong, hold the vehicle to stop? He doesn't have the power to stop the vehicle. He doesn't have the power, the ability to stop the truck. But he has authority. And what is backing him up is what? Nigerian federal government, as evidenced by his uniform. The uniform he's wearing is a token of his authority, being backed by the federal government. So to disobey him on this uniform is, you are disobeying what? The federal government. Because he has authority or delegated power to stop you. So when he says stop, vehicle stop. When he say come, they move. The same thing when you see military at checkpoint, when they do like this, stop, they stop. Am I communicating? That's authority. That's authority. Now, just like the police that is a traffic warden, his authority was given to him by the federal government of Nigeria. And on the basis of that, he's been obeyed. It's a similar way. When you use the name of Jesus, you need to have this understanding. You need to understand who is backing you up, whose authority you are using. The whole power in heaven is behind that name. Jesus gave us the power of attorney to use that name. When you function in that name, that's why I say there's no bond the demon that will not obey you. Your problem is ignorance. It's when you don't know, that's when demons will do you like this. But when you have this understanding that the whole of heaven is backing you up, the throne of God is behind your authority. In my name, they shall cast out devils. They shall perform miracles. Am I communicating? Is the same authority Jesus has that he has given us. The same authority the head has, he has given to the body. In fact, the head exercises this authority through the body, through of us, even in the natural. Your head exercises its authority through your body. So Jesus, the head of the body of Christ, the head of the church, is exercising his authority today on earth. How? Through his body. Who is the body of Christ? The church. Who is the church? All believers on earth. Am I communicating? Jesus is exercising his authority through you. So you learn to use your authority with understanding. You learn to exercise. You see, there are many things that we cry to God about. We pray to God to come and do something about. That we are supposed to be exercising our authority. See, when you are attacked by demons, when it has to do with demonic issues, that is not when you should cry to God, God, come and do something about Satan and demons. Mm-mm. God is saying, I have done all I needed to do about them. I've conquered, I've defeated them. I've given you the victory, and I've given you my authority. Now you exercise my authority over them. Are you seeing something? So you shouldn't be praying to God, oh God, come and do something. Demons are pressing my neck. He said, exercise your authority. Cast them out. Rebuke them in his name. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. If I have pain in any part of my body, I won't be crying to God, God, please come and do something about the pain. That's not the time to cry for pity or to tell God to do something. Jesus has already healed us 2,000 years ago, and he has paid the price for my healing. This is an opportunity to exercise my authority over that pain, over that sickness. So what am I going to do? I will lay my hands upon that pain. Father, in the name of Jesus, I command this pain out, be gone, and never return. You see, learn to exercise your authority. There are so many circumstances in life that will be crying to God, begging God to come and do something. God is watching. He said, my son, exercise the authority I've given you in my name. This is how we walk in dominion. Glory to God. I say glory to God. In Luke chapter 10 verse 19, look at what Jesus said. Luke chapter 10 verse 19. So you learn to exercise your authority. And you cannot exercise your authority without speaking. There is no way you can exercise authority without speaking. So you must issue words of command. You must make decrees in his name. Angels are waiting on your words of command. Angels are waiting for you to exercise your authority so that they will go and enforce whatever you say. But the problem is many believers are not saying anything.
challenges of life, problems of life, wahalas of life are pressing you everywhere, and you are quiet. You are not exercising your authority. When you should be speaking, speak to that mountain, speak to that challenge, speak to that predicament, speak to that situation, and command it to bow in the name of Jesus. Am I communicating? Learn to exercise your authority in His name. Kenneth Hagin once had a vision. God, Jesus was trying to teach him about the use of his authority. He had a vision. He saw Jesus like that. They were conversing. They were talking. Jesus was teaching him some very important stuff in that vision. And then suddenly, a demon, like a monkey, came in between him and Jesus. Came in between them. Rakiti, kiti, rakiti, 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 rakiti. He said the demon was just making noise. He said he was expecting Jesus to stop talking. Jesus just kept talking as if nothing happened. He said he was trying to listen to what Jesus was saying. And what Jesus was saying was very important. He was trying to listen, but that demon, rakiti, 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 was not just obstructing his view. The demon was making so much noise that Kenneth Hagin said he was not hearing what Jesus was saying. And then, in his mind again, he expected Jesus to do something about that demon. He expected Jesus to do. Jesus did not do anything in that vision. And then, when he became angry and provoked, because Jesus was continued talking, he was not hearing what Jesus was saying, because he was being distracted by this demon. Kenneth Hagin then got angry in his spirit. He says, in the name of Jesus, I command you, get out! And the demon left. And then Jesus looked at him and smiled. He said, if you had not done something about it, I couldn't have done something about it. Kenneth Hagin said, what? Then Jesus then explained to him that I have given you my authority. I have given you my authority, and I exercise my authority through you. Am I communicating? So you learn to exercise your authority. Don't be begging and crying for God to come and help you about demonic affliction. Jesus has already done everything he needed to do in his finished works. It's now up to you to arise and use that name with understanding and with faith to walk in victory and dominion over demons, over diseases, over death. Glory to God. I say glory to God. This understanding is important, because we have believers that live in fear. So many Christians, they live in fear. Fear of demons, fear of oppression, all manner of fear, fear of death. They've not learned to use their authority. They don't even have an understanding, a revelation of their authority, their God-given authority in the name of Jesus. They don't know that they can use this name and rebuke that spirit of fear, and rebuke that death, and walk in dominion over all those demonic forces. Praise God. This is very important. People like Smith Wigglesworth, he once had a visitation from a demon. He was hearing noise in his living room. Those days there was no electricity, so he came with something like lamp. And on his reading chair was a demon, ugly looking thing. The demon thought that Smith Wigglesworth would be terrified. If some of you were to have those kind of visitation, you will run and leave that room in the night. You will swear that you will never come back to that room. But Wigglesworth was not impressed when he saw the demon, because he has a revelation of his authority over all devils. They are all subject, they are under our feet. See, their boss, Satan, their oga pata pata, is under your feet. How much more is workers? See, this truth must enter you. Become conscious of it. You need to be conscious of your superiority over Satan and his demons. Wiggles Ward had this understanding. When he came and saw the demon, ugly looking thing he is, say, Satan, I didn't know it was you. If I had known, I wouldn't have bothered to come. He off the light, went back to bedroom and slept, and he didn't even lock the door to the bedroom. That demon must have cried that day. When the demon saw that he was totally ignored, and he knows that he cannot do anything, not to a man that has this revelation, the demon left without prayer. I say without prayer. Hi, somebody say revelation knowledge. The powers for dominion. Some of you, small wall gecko you saw. Small wall gecko, fear won't kill you. Jesus, Jesus. Most of the time, they chant that name in fear. That's why it doesn't work. The name of Jesus doesn't work when you use it in fear. It only works when you use it in faith, powered by revelation. Haven't you heard people mention Jesus in accident and yet they died? Why did they die? Is it because the name is impotent? Is it because the name cannot save or deliver them from accident and death? They did not use the name in faith. They only shouted and screamed the name in fear. It doesn't work. If a prostitute in an accident calls upon the name of Jesus in faith, she will be delivered. She will not die. Deliverance will come. That name will work for you when you use it in faith. Common bird that landed at your veranda. Blood of Jesus. Blood. You even finish all the blood. Now blood of God remain. Fear. You know, sometimes some people pray, but the prayer is motivated by fear, so it doesn't work. Eh? Fear motivated prayers don't work. Just like using the name of Jesus in fear does not work. Anything motivated by fear will not work. It is faith that makes it work. So your prayer must be fueled, must be done in faith. The use of the name of Jesus must be done in faith. I've never had any accident in my life. The closest I came to was when I was walking in Sabon Lai Mangu. That day there was drama between the driver and all those those transport union people, that you have to settle them before you pass. I swear, when you carry passenger around their area, you have to settle them or else there is trouble. So the driver carried one passenger around that area, their territory. So they were now dragging with the union people that he has to settle them. The driver say him is not settling them, that he doesn't have money. So the union guy became angry. He now opened the door where the driver's door is. He opened it forcefully and then sat together with the driver. So two of them were dragging steering, and we were all in the car, passengers. So it became like a James Bond movie. The car will bend the thing. The car will go like this and go like this, zigzag, zigzag. People were already shouting. One woman was saying her last prayer. Some people were confessing their sin. Father, receive my spirit. Please forgive all my sin. Everybody, they were seeing accident and death. So, fear everywhere. So we're shouting, Jesus, Jesus. But all out of fear. I was perturbed in the car. Then when I saw that the drama was becoming something else, my spirit rose up. I became angry in my spirit. I said, in the name of Jesus. When I said, the car grinded to an halt and stopped. See, the name of Jesus is very powerful. Hi, I don't know how to explain this thing to you people. The car stopped.
Everybody, hey, thank you, Jesus. Hey, thank you, Jesus. Then the passenger started beating the driver first. Then when they were done, they now beat that union guy. You people want to kill us because of how much? 100 naira. See, beating that, they dragged them out of the car. Me, I was just watching drama. Rise to your feet. See, the name of Jesus is powerful. I wish people... I don't know how to remove this thing in my spirit and put it inside you. Praise God. Learn to use that name. You can't die like a chicken. Use it against sickness. See, I can't count how many times I've seen lump and swelling in my body. I use the name. I will put my hands wherever the growth or swelling or whatever it is. And I will use the authority in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I command this growth or swelling to die, dematerialize. I do it intentionally and consciously. And I know what I'm doing with understanding and revelation. And that's it. After saying the prayer, the lump will look exactly the way it is, but I know that in the realm of the spirit it is dead. And it doesn't matter how many times my mind go back to the swelling, I say the same thing. I don't change what I'm saying, neither do I doubt what I'm saying. And guess what? It's just a matter of time. I will realize, it's even when I'm betting, I will realize that the thing is no longer there. I didn't even know when it disappeared. Because I knew that the moment I said it, in the realm of the spirit, changes begin to happen. When Jesus cursed that fig tree, those words traveled to the spirit realm and killed the tree from the root. So, the name of Jesus starts attacking and addressing your problem from the root. So, it doesn't matter what you are seeing in the physical. Hold on to the confession of your faith without wavering. Am I communicating? Until you see manifestation in the physical, don't waver, don't doubt in unbelief. Malagabasa Palatina. The name of Jesus. He has given us authority in His name, He has given us power. Hey! You know, there is authority, there is power. You know, sometimes military guys, when they tell cars stop, you know, Nigerians, they are usually rebellious ones now, disobedient ones, right? We always have goat among the sheep. You know goat? Goat does not obey commando. Have you reared goat before? My parents used to rear goat. They know they hear word. Sheep, you can easily command them. They will follow you sheepishly like this. But goat, for where? You have to put rope around their neck. You have to use force, or else goat will not obey you. Some demons are like goat. They know they hear. So this is where you bring in dunamis power. Because Jesus gave us both. He gave us authority, He gave us power. Praise God. You drive them out. Sometimes you are dragging goat. They are doing like that. Even with the rope, they don't want to go. Even with rope around their neck, you still have to drag them against their will. Meh, meh, they don't want to move. So it's a similar thing. He gave us authority, He gave power. By the time soldiers at the checkpoint tell a vehicle stop, and then the vehicle refuses and is firing speed, and they suspect that this is a criminal or Boko Haram or kidnapper, they crack. That's why they have gun. That gun is representing power. Hey, yeah. It's representing dunamis. Power! They can shoot the car. They can shoot the tire to deflate it. In war, during war, by the time the commanding officer tell the soldiers, he say, ready, ready. Oh, yeah. Fire! You can fire. You see them, pie, pie, pie. They are using the power that they have. So Jesus gave us both. Oh, I say He gave us both. I say He gave us both. I want you to lift up your voice. Look at what He has done for us.
Why won't you love him? He gave us authority in his name. He gave us power in his name. Kelido Barakatia. In Matthew chapter 28 verse 18, he says, all authority, even though King James Version has power, he says, all authority in heaven and in earth has been given unto me. He says, on the basis of that authority, go ye therefore. Hallelujah. He has authorized us to preach the gospel. Glory to God. And then in Luke 10:19, he said, behold, I give unto you power. The power here is authority. Give me an amplified. He said, I give you authority to trample upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power, the dunamis, the ability of the enemy, over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. I have given you authority and power to trample on serpents and scorpions. And serpents and scorpions represent demons and rebellious personalities, rebellious circumstances, and all of that. Hallelujah. We've been given power and authority. It says to trample upon them and over all the ability of the enemy. Nigerians, Africans like to glorify the power of Satan. We give Satan the power he does not even have. You see it in movies. You see it in all the dramas. But what about magnifying the power of God? What about magnifying our authority in the name of Jesus over all devils? This truth must sink into us. We must become conscious of this fact. I have given you authority. I have given you power. He gave to his disciple power and authority. Lifra palatiza batena. Maliga bagadea so freketena. Legim brakatiska palatea. Jesus said, behold, I beheld Satan fall as lightning from heaven. In verse 17, the Bible says the 70 returned with joy. They returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. The demons are subject to us in your name. The demons are subject to us. He said, in my name you will cast out devils. When you function with the authority in the name of Jesus, demons have no choice. He said they are subject. They become your subject. They obey you. They submit to the authority of that name. Let every power be subject to a higher power. Malepora sabalasida, embreketena, ruda kapata. And he gave us the power of attorney to use his name. We can demand in that name. Is somebody ready to use the name of Jesus? Ilabakonda, give me Luke chapter. Okay, John chapter 14, verse 13. John 14, 13. We are going to do a little exercise just like I did in Zaria. You are going to use the name of Jesus now. You are going to use that name. You will use the authority in that name to ask anything. Demand anything. Demand whatever you want. Demand what you want God to do for you. Whether it is miracle, any form, healing miracle, financial miracle, admission, job, miracle jobs. I don't know what you are trusting God for. But listen, when you use the name of Jesus and demand for it, Jesus said, the Father will give it to you. He said, ask anything in my name and I will do it. Whatever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Verse 14, the next verse. If ye shall ask anything in my name. He gave us a blank check. When you ask, it's as though Jesus is asking for the same thing.
I want you to lift up your voice now and begin to make demands. Begin to make demand. Begin to ask in his name. Ask for your miracle in his name. The name of Jesus is a miracle worker. The name of Jesus will produce supernatural signs and wonders for you. Ask anything in his name. Ask for your healing in his name. Ask for your financial breakthrough in his name. Ask for supernatural favor in his name. Ask for supernatural help in his name. Ask for the hand of the Lord to rest upon any area of your life. Come on, make demand in that name. The monies are coming in that name. Doors are opening for you in high places in that name. That name will open more doors than the name of any president. The name of Jesus, we open more doors for you. We give you more favor than any mortal on earth. Is a wherefore God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things and beings on earth, of things and beings in heaven, of things under the earth. Come on, use that name now. I say, use that name now. Demand for your rights. Demand for your miracles. Ligo barakataya. Manda brakataya. Lege brekedeya. Call them forth in that name. Use his authority. He has given us the power of attorney to use his name and to function in his stead. Randege brakataya. Ligo bakazatai. If they ask anything in my name, I will do it. Kombarase bele tozi. La brande kepo rabalida. Embrekete ketena andra hatai.
We believe you're blessed by this message. Our goal is to raise a glory generation that will walk in kingdom dominion and manifest the word of God as a lifestyle. To download more messages by Dr. Lucas Sagon King or to partner with us, please visit www.avalancheofglory.org. Subscribe to our YouTube and Telegram channel. Also follow us on Facebook and Instagram at the Avalanche of Glory Ministries International. Call 080-65-302610 or 070-3699-1158 for more information. We love and celebrate you.